those things. I like preaching about David and Goliath and Noah and the flood and about Abraham and all the Old Testament saints. They're great lessons that we can learn from, and it's all the Word of God. And they're all great, and they're all helpful, and they're all needful for each and every one of us. They are a must. I prefer to preach about those things. But I'm commanded to preach all the counsel of God. In my life, I've witnessed some horrible things that's taken place. Some of them are quite humorous, but they're horrible. Some are very serious, but quite horrible. I was saved at Trinity Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio, a number of years ago, and I remember the pastor down there, the founding pastor, he was preaching away, and as he was preaching, he was a hellfire and brimstone, a leather lung preacher, and he was up there just beating the pulpit and preaching, and as he was preaching, his top plate fell out and landed right on the pulpit. And he grabbed his dentures, popped them back in his mouth, and kept right on preaching. He was on TV when this happened. I would have to, well, it wasn't live, it was video. And so they were going to submit that video, and he actually asked my sister, "Do you think anybody noticed?" That was your mom, Stacy. And she says, "Preacher, everybody noticed. I hate to tell you that, but everybody noticed." He says, "What do you think I should do?" She says, "I think maybe you ought to send in last year's message in place of this one." But you know, you stop and think about that. That'd be horrifying. If that happened to you, I mean, you'd probably think, oh no, what in the world's gonna, you know, I just can't live through this. But, you know, there are some things that happens that are just horrible. And then there are some things that are just disgusting. I was watching the news here a while back and I saw a man that had altered his face. He had plastic surgery after plastic surgery, and he altered it to make himself look like his cat. Now, I've got a feline in my house. My wife's got a cat, my mother-in-law's got a cat, and I've got a dog. I have no intention to alter my looks to make myself look like my dog or my cat. This guy, he had plastic surgeries and he had these nylon whiskers put in and eyebrow lifts and everything else. He looked like a cat. I mean, he could have been on the Wizard of Oz. I mean, as the Cowardly Lion. I mean, he really looked like a cat. And I thought, that is horrible. Disgusting. And then there are some things that were just horrible and they're sickening. A number of years ago, my children were just little and we were living in Faustoria and we were coming up to Vine Street and there was a flash of lights at the intersection of Elm and Vine, and right next to the hospital parking lot there was a Honda Accord that ran a stoplight and a pickup truck with three teenage boys that just left the high school basketball game broadsided this Honda Accord. Spun that Honda Accord around in a circle. The Honda was not only broadsided on the one side by the truck, but it was pushed into a large tree on the other side and landed in the parking lot of the hospital. I got out of the car and I was the first one on the scene, ran into the hospital and got an attendant and they came out with a gurney and I helped pull this man out of a car and he was dead. The sad thing about it was he was down here making wedding preparations. He was getting married in 2 weeks. He was from Michigan. And I thought, how horrible. How horrible. He was down here planning the rest of his life only to end up in eternity. I was watching the news a number of years ago and I remember watching this video clip that the news showed about the genocide that was taking place in Africa between two warring tribes. And it showed a river there, and the river was raging with floodwaters, and it looked like logs that was going over this waterfall. I mean, every second or two, there was a log going over the waterfall, and you could see them. I thought, wow, what a bunch of debris. And the newsman said, "That is not wood, those are human bodies." All because one tribe hated another tribe and And during the time when the Hutus and there was another factioning group that was fighting, they suggested that there was probably 1 million Africans that died. And I thought to myself, how horrible. When you stop and think about the genocide that took place in Germany with the extermination of over 6 million Jews and Christians. When you think about what happened in Italy under Stalin and the mass murders, and they suggest that, and they don't know the exact numbers, but there were millions that were killed under Stalin all because of hate. You know, that's horrible. Even here in our recent history, what happened on 9/11, and I remember watching the jets fly into the World Trade Center, and I remember watching as the World Trade Centers fell, and I saw that and how horrible that was. But I'm here to tell you, those things do not compare to the horrific event that is recorded in Luke chapter 16. And out of all the things that I've ever witnessed, when you read Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19 and following, it is the most horrific thing that we could ever imagine. And I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say. Beginning in verse number 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man." This is not a parable. This is an actual story. This is an actual happening that took place. Jesus Christ said, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Did you see that? This beggar died. He didn't die alone. Believers never die alone. They're carried by the angels in the presence of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Amen. "He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Hold your place here. Go back to Revelation chapter number 21. Look at verse 8. In Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 8, John said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "But the fearful and the abominable, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What a horrible thing. Look at Revelation 20. Look at verse 14 and 15. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you'd help us as we look at your word today. Help us, Lord, to catch a glimpse of the horrors of hell. Lord, that it might move us and motivate us to serve you in a greater way, to get us out of our apathy and create a burning desire in our heart, Lord, to reach the lost for the cause of Christ lest they go to this terrible place of punishment. Lord, I pray that you just help us. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you this morning. Please get saved. There is nothing worth dying and going to hell for. Amen. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. To live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And because Jesus Christ never sinned, He could be the perfect sacrifice. He died in your place and He died in my place. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, where it says in Romans 5:8. Christ died for you and Christ died for me. And He invites you to come to Him. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. I don't understand why people wouldn't get saved. I don't understand why they walk out and they're lost. I don't understand it. But for you today that are saved, you ought to thank God what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen? You ought to thank God every day that Jesus Christ loved you and went to the cross of Calvary, and there He paid His own blood the price for your sin. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I plead with you. Come to Christ, because you don't want to go to a place called hell. Hell is a horrible place. I want to share with you this morning why it's horrible. In Luke chapter number 16, this rich man, who is not named, but it was real, he said there was a certain rich man. It says he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I want you to notice the very first reason why that hell is horrible. Because hell is horrible because it's immediate upon death. There is no limbo. There is no soul sleep. When a person dies without Jesus Christ, immediately they go to a place called hell. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It's immediate after death. There are no second chances. We have our chance right here. You say, well, I don't like God's plan. Well, you don't have any choice in the matter. He's the one that wrote the book. He's the one that created the universe. He's the one that allowed you to come into existence. And listen, we got to play by His rule book or we don't get to play at all. God is the one that has created all of this. And He tells us in Luke chapter number 16 that this rich man, he rejected Christ. He died and he went to a place called hell. It is horrible because immediately, when they take their last breath without Jesus Christ, immediately they're in hell. And they will be there forever. I want you to notice what it says in verse 22 through 27. It says, and it came to pass that when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in, what's that next word? Torments. Plural. Not just torment, but torments. Hell is horrible because it's a place of torments. In verse number 23, I want you to notice it says, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hell is going to be a terrible place. It's going to be a horrible place because the person in hell is described in the Bible as outer darkness. They can somehow, God is going to give them the ability to see into heaven, but never partake. Years ago when I worked in a factory, I drove tow motor and they give you training on driving fork truck, and they always said this, when you are entering a building, if you're outside and you come through a dock door, you stop, you blow your horn before you enter the building. Because if that building is dark, if that building is lit, the people outside the building can see in. But the people outside or that are inside the building, if it's lit up, can't see out into the darkness. You ever drive down the street at night? My wife likes going for drives at Christmas time, seeing all the pretty decorations. How many of you do that? I told her, I says, you shouldn't be snooping in people's homes. But she, you know, people put Christmas trees, they always put them right in front of big picture windows and stuff, and she likes seeing those things. And so it'll be dark outside, we'll be driving by. And many times you'll see people walking around in their houses, decorating the tree or hanging up Christmas decorations. You know, the people that's inside that room, it's all lit up, they can't see the people driving by with the car. But those that are in the light can't see into the darkness, but those that are in the darkness can see into the light. Maybe hell is like that. Those who are cast into outer darkness can look into the light of God and can see what is going on. But you know what? The people that are in heaven can't see what's going on in hell. Hell is a horrible place because it's a place of torments. Here, this rich man that died and went to a place called hell, he could see Abraham and he could see Lazarus in his bosom. He could see into the portals of heaven somehow, but he could not partake. And throughout all of eternity, is it possible that people that are in hell are going to be able to look into heaven and never partake? They're going to be able to see the water of life flowing from the throne of God and the river of life. They're going to be able to see the tree of life. They're going to be able to maybe even hear the songs that are being sung as they're wailing in agony. It is going to be a place of horrible torments. Look at verse number 24. It says, and he cried. There's going to be lamenting there. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. Look over at the book of Mark. Hold your place here. Got your Bible? Turn there. Look at Mark chapter number 9. Look at the last part of verse number 43. It says, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Look at verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Look at verse 45, into the fire that shall not be quenched. Verse 46, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The psalmist said in Psalm 22 and verse number 6, he says, but I am a worm. The book of Job says, and Job says, the son of man, which is a worm. Many times, as a person will look at themselves in the scripture, they refer to themselves as a worm. That's all we are. Before a holy and a righteous God, we are nothing but a worm. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In verse number 24, we find that as a place where he cried and he lamented. Look at Luke chapter number 16. Verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here was this rich man that died and he went to a place called hell. 2,000 years ago, he begged for one drop of water. And he's crying out, please send one drop of water. Just one drop of water. Please send one drop of water. And today he is still pleading for one drop of water. And there is not a drop of water that is going to ever be given to that man. Hell is going to be a horrible place because of the torments. Seeing and not partaking. No water. Real fire. You say, real fire? I know that a lot of liberals and modernists today have tried to explain it away and say, you know what, there's no fire in hell. It's just the fire of your own conscience and mind that's going to burn. And that is not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about a literal fire. It talks about a lake of fire. Over and over, the Bible talks about fire in a place called hell. In Revelation chapter number 14 and verse number 11, it says, and they have no rest day nor night. It says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Why? Because they're burning in the fire, the smoke of their torment. It's a place of real fire. Look at verse 27. In verse number 27, we find that the rich man begins to talk to Abraham and says, Abraham, send Lazarus. And he says in verse 25, it says, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime thou receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And he said, verse 27, he said then, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, and that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Yeah, I've heard people say foolish things. Yeah, I'm going to go to hell, that's where all my buddies are at, and we're going to have a party there. How dumb. That is the most foolish thing. There are no parties in hell, and there is no buddy system in hell. When a person dies and goes to a place called hell, they are there under the punishment of God. There are no parties taking place. Hell is going to be horrible. Because it's a place of memory and remorse. This man remembered who Abraham was. He remembered who Lazarus was. He remembered that it's his father's house. He remembered that he had five brothers. He knew that he didn't want his five brothers to come and join him. This man that died and went to hell had all of his faculties about him. He could feel, he could taste, he could hear, he could see. He had memory, he had remorse. Hell is going to be a horrible place. It's going to be horrible. Look at verse 26. Verse number 26. Abraham responds back and says, Abraham said, son, verse number 25, he says, you've received good things at Lazarus evil, now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. And he said, those that want to come here can't, and those that are here can't go back to you. Kind of summarizing it. You know, there is still a great gulf and it's fixed. People that go to hell can't get out. And people that go to heaven, they can't leave. There is a great gulf and it is fixed. That tells me this. It's forever. Hell is forever. In Matthew 25 and verse number 46, it tells us there is no checking out. Who shall be punished with everlasting punishment, the Bible says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 9, it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Everlasting. Forever. When a person dies and goes to a place called hell, it is forever and ever and ever and ever, and there is no checking out. Horrible thing. It's horrible because there's no answered prayer there. You know, I'm glad that we can pray and God can answer our prayers, and God does answer our prayers. But there's quite a prayer meeting going on in hell right now. People are praying and begging God. But God's not going to answer. It says in Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. He goes on and says, there's going to be a day when you're going to call and I'm not going to answer. That's what's happened when a person dies and goes to a place called hell. You see, this man is in hell and he's praying. And he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to me, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Send my brothers, or send Lazarus to my brothers that they won't come to this place, he might testify to them. You see what he's doing? He's praying. But there's no answer there. Why? He prayed too late. Why? He prayed for God to make an exception. Now, I've met people and they think that they're special. And they think, well, you know what? God's going to make an exception for me. And God's not going to make an exception for anybody. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11, it says, for with God there is no respect of persons. God does not make exceptions for anyone. He prayed that God would allow another way to get to heaven. And there is no other way. In Acts 4:12 it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Ephesians 2:8-9 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. God offers it. You must receive it. Jesus said, if any man climb up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. You as an individual, you cannot get to heaven outside of the grace of God and what Jesus Christ has done for you. He prayed that God would make another way. There is no other way but Jesus Christ. As I said, hell, according to verse 27 and 28, hell is horrible because there is no buddy system there. Matter of fact, a person that dies and goes to hell, they don't want anybody to join them. The most wicked and vile individual that's ever lived and died and went to hell, they're religious now. And they're praying. And they're pleading, Lord, don't let anybody else come here. Hell is a horrible place because it's a place of no rest. I love my pillow. And after a hard day's work, I bought one of these memory foam pillows with cooling gel. Oh, it's wonderful. And I always flip that pillow over to the cooling side. I put my head on it at night, and my wife can testify to this. Many times I'm snoring before my head gets all the way to the pillow. I love my pillow. And I love my bed. Because after a long day's work, I can go home and I can rest. The other day got here early in the morning and worked all day, and I got home and I ate something, and I was sitting in the recliner and I started dozing off, and I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I might as well just go to bed because I love my bed, I love my pillow. You can laugh about that. But here's the thing. In hell, there is no bed. And in hell, there is no comfortable pillow. And in hell, there is no rest. I remember when I was a young man, many times I'd work double shifts. There were times when I worked triple shifts. There was a day when I worked four shifts straight, 32 hours straight. And by the time that 32 hours was done, I was toast. I was beyond tired. And all I could think about, I want to go home, I want to take a shower, I want to crawl into bed and don't bother me for a couple days. That's all I want. I want to get some rest. But in hell there is no rest. Forever and ever and ever there is no rest. They have no rest day nor night. Revelation 14:11. Hell is horrible because of the people that go there. In Revelation chapter number 21, it gives a list of those that go. It says, but the fearful are going to be there. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. And you know, I don't have to worry about anything because the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. Amen. When you get the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we don't have to fear. But if you don't have Christ, you better fear. The fearful, those who are without faith. It says then the unbelieving. the lost are there. Those who disbelieve, the infidel. Murderers are going to be there. Those who kill or murder, whoremongers are going to be there. According to my dictionary, it's in reference to prostitutes, those who live sexually impure lives. It says sorcerers are going to be there. Now, we think of sorcerers today in our society, we think of maybe Harry Potter and all of this junk that they have on Hollywood screens and stuff, and magic. That's not what this is talking about. The word sorcerer there comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means enchantment with drugs. It's talking about drug users and drug pushers. A spell-giving potion, mind-altering drugs, and enchantment with drugs. That's what the word means. You know who's going to be in hell? The drug pusher. That's who's going to be in hell. It's typified, hell is typified by those who are involved in drug use. You say, well, can a Christian ever get wrapped up in that? Well, sure they can. Same way they can get wrapped up in other type of sin. But that's not God's intended pattern for your life. The Bible says that there's idolaters there. A servant or a worshiper of an image. All liars are going to be there. Hell is going to be a horrible place by all the inhabitants that are there. The screaming and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. I want you to notice Revelation 20. Look at verse number 11 and following. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, plural. Notice that. The books were opened. The Bible talks about the book of life. It talks about, that book of life records down everybody that is ever living at that particular time. Then the Bible talks about the book of remembrance. According to the book of Malachi, it's written for those who serve God. God's not going to forget your labor of love. And then it talks about the Lamb's book of life. In Revelation chapter number 13, the Lamb's book of life is all those individuals who were in the book of life at one time. They were alive and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their name was written down forever in the Lamb's book of life, never to be blotted out. There's a difference between the Lamb's book of life and the book of life. So the books are opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. They're judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which is in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. You know what would happen if you were judged according to your works? It's going to prove that you're a sinner. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And these individuals were judged according to their works. Our works stink. That's just simple and plain. Our works can't get us to heaven. Our works can't even keep us saved. Only the grace of God can do that. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Hell is horrible because it's the final destination. Forever. No purgatory, no limbo. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Then you need to be saved. If you're not saved, the Bible says in John chapter number 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he believeth not in the only begotten Son of God. I was working on the steeple base up here. I don't know if you saw it or not. I had a black marker in my pen. And on the fascia board I wrote, saved across it, dash John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. I thought, well, maybe somebody would get curious driving by and read it. Maybe get saved. But you know what? The only way a person is going to get saved, they have to trust Christ. Because John 3:18 says we're condemned already. This is not a game. It is about a certain eternity that your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your friends, and even you are going to have to face. Hell is an awful long time. And eternity is an awful long time to think about the choices we should have made. You say, well, preacher, are you trying to scare me? If I could scare you into getting saved, I'd do that. But that's not my purpose or plan. My purpose and plan is to share with you what the Word of God has to say. And the Word of God says there is a heaven that's real. There is a hell that's also real. Eternity is long. And we need to decide where we're going. You say, well, I'm not going to choose. That's fine. If you choose not, you're condemned already. John 3:18 tells us that. You see, the bottom line is one day you'll leave this world. One day you'll enter into either heaven or hell. The difference is Jesus Christ. What have you done with Him? Have you repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ by faith? I hope so, because that's what makes the difference. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. That's what we are, and that's what we need. Today He invites you to receive His free gift by faith. I'd plead with you this morning. Please get saved. I'm not talking about getting religious. I'm not talking about becoming a Baptist. I'm talking about becoming a child of God. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with Him. And that's only available through Jesus Christ. For no man can come to the Father but by me, Jesus Christ said. Why not trust Christ as your personal Savior? I pray that you will come to Christ. Trust Him today. I wonder this morning, how many of you have a friend that's not saved? How many of you have a loved one that's lost? How many of you today have a coworker that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You know what we ought to do? We ought to be on our face before God and pleading with God and saying, oh Lord, please save that person before they die and go to a place called hell. But the average Christian will walk apathetically through life and not give it much thought. God help us. Hell is going to be horrible. But I'm glad for those of us that know Christ as our Savior that heaven is going to be forever. And those of you that know Christ, He's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. We're never going to experience sorrow and grief ever again. The question is, what have you done with Christ? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, if the Lord has spoken to you, as the piano player comes to play through verse of invitation, we invite you to come. I hope and pray that you'll catch a vision of what hell is going to be like. I hope that you'll tell your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones. Tell them about Jesus Christ. The rich man is still begging for one drop of water. He's still begging for someone to go and tell his brethren, I believe he's begging for you to go and tell your brethren. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this invitation. Help us, Lord, to see the seriousness of the subject. Lord, I don't enjoy preaching about these things. But Lord, I know your word is true. So Lord, help us to learn from it. Help us, Lord, to glean from it. Help us, Lord, to prepare ourselves and others, lest they also come to this terrible place of torment. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ, that they would get saved. Guide and direct in Jesus' name.